Fancy Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. The people have spoken. They do not necessarily want to hear from Stephen Jones because they were like, no, I listened to the interview with G-Bag from yesterday. It was very entertaining. I thought G-Bag did a really good job of holding his feet to the fire, but sometimes we've been through this, Corey. You know this better than just about anybody. Some of the answers that he gives are agitating.
With Stephen to and Jerry, I don't every week feel like we have to hold them to the fire on everything. And it seems like everybody wants that all the time. I'm like, come on, man. There's so much more we can do other than that. But I appreciated Dawson continually following up with questions. And then I thought the rest of the interview was pretty interesting and entertaining as well with Broadus and the rest of G-Bag doing their stuff. So they did a great job, and that's why I'm just looking forward to more continued interviews and stuff out there from both shows, because they're really good at what they do, for one.
For sure.
And they're very entertaining, so I like it. Like this morning with the hand and Tyler Booker. If you haven't seen the picture, it's been posted. Dude, Tyler Booker's hands, I know Sean's are tiny. He's got tiny little baby hands, but Tyler Booker's hands are gigantic.
He had to know. That's exactly how that was going to play out. All right, we're going to get to, and I want to ask the question, what's the best high school stadium that you've ever been to or seen, or however you want to describe it? But I have one more quick Cowboys question for you on the number.
All right.
CeeDee Lamb, 109.5 receptions. Again, these are the betting terminologies in case you're curious why everything has a 0.5. 109.5 receptions, 1,250.5 yards, and 7.5 touchdowns. So let's just round them all up. 110, 12 for 1,251 yards and 8 touchdowns. That's a heck of a season. Is that a heck of enough of a season, I'll say?
So you're saying if he does that, maybe he hasn't gone too far enough.
Is exactly.
What you're saying. It's a good season. And if George Pickens produces the other way, then don't you feel like
sure,
man, you got a lot of good production out of those two. I think that could happen pretty like almost in his sleep. I feel like those are CeeDee Lamb numbers that you expect. But it's the other production that comes along with it. Cause you really don't want him to have 150 catches. Honestly, you don't.
I agree.
So that's,
especially when Shoddy says we're going to run the hell out of the ball. Then I'm like, okay, so literally nobody else on the team caught any passes.
Yeah. You want him to run effectively, but then, you know, be able to use those receivers for what they're best at.
Yes. I really appreciate that. From the 214, I want to let you guys know, y'all's is my favorite show to listen to, and they called it the KNC Medford piece, which is not too shabby.
I like it.
Whatsoever.
I do like that.
Thank y'all for making my day, guys, and I hope y'all have a great day and good luck in Germany, Kevin. I just want to say really, really quick, and then I want to talk about this high school thing quite a bit. I appreciate the kind words. People will come up to you and they'll be like, oh, you probably get tired of hearing this. No, I don't. I'll just speak for me. If you want to say something complimentary, I will never tire of that. Or if you have constructive criticism, of course, that is fair to listen to. But I appreciate how people get involved in our lives and how involved we are in people's lives. I think that's just super cool.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
All right, now, Corey, you want to talk? You've demanded to talk. Some high school, not high school football, but some high school stadium talk.
Yeah.
Which I'm super intrigued
by. I saw this morning, and I thought it was really cool, and that's the reason I wanted to talk about this with you, nothing against Fred. I'm looking forward to working with Fred.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know his experience. I know your experience. You and I came up not in this industry, but in the print industry.
Yes, that's where we met.
As high school sports writers. Yeah. That was where we met, and a lot of people may not know that about us. But we started covering the Plano, Allen, Southlake, McKinney area.
Yep.
And that's where we met, and we kind of started the show that in that place. And we got to experience tons of high school stadiums because of all the different areas we got to go to throughout that time. And so I saw a story this morning, and it says Buford High School in Georgia has officially opened their new $62 million stadium in Georgia. Now, when we hear that, we kind of laugh because that's just how it is in the high school football stadium business now. Because as you pointed out this morning, Allen set the standard for that whenever they said, here's the new bond, we're paying for a big stadium.
Can I tell you, at the time, I didn't see that being the new template at all. Like, this got national coverage. The fact that Allen was going to spend $60 million, and if I recall correctly, I think it might have kind of moved up towards like $61 or $62 million. I don't think anybody thought this was going to be the new template, and I definitely didn't. And I got into discussions with people, not arguments, just discussions, because I understood the heart of it, where they were like, why don't they take that money and put it into the school or put it into this? And I was like, unfortunately, that is illegal. Like, you had a bond election and specifically laid out the things the bond was for. If you take that money and put it into something else entirely, that is election fraud, and that's a whole bunch of other issues. So it's like, so you can't do that. But go ahead and put your bond up for whatever and see how it goes. Because for how many ever people said it was stupid, the people of Allen overwhelmingly voted for this bond, and it was essentially called the football stadium bond. I know there were lots of other things in there, but it was the football stadium bond.
So I started kind of, you know, asking myself, man, what stadiums that I really like that I was able to go check out and be part of? And one of the ones that popped out from covering was Pflugerville. I don't know if you ever got a chance to go down to the field. By the way, it's spelled Pheild because Pflugerville does things like that.
Right.
And I just thought their stadium was really cool looking. One of the ones I played at in high school was Jacksonville, the Tomato Bowl. If you've never been to the Tomato Bowl.
I don't think I know that one.
It has this like stone, all the entries are kind of stone looking and everything. And it's really like it's cool and kind of classic old looking. It's really fun. Cleburne has, my cousin graduated from Cleburne. They had a really cool one. And the Gopher Bowl in Grand Prairie.
Yeah.
I love that. I've never seen this one up close and personal, but I have heard legends about it. R.R. Jones Stadium in El Paso.
Yeah.
It's amazing looking.
That would be a bucket list stadium, especially if you get into the stadium tour. And that's kind of the same thing that you would run into with Odessa Permian and Converse Judson and stadiums like that. And for the longest time, Allen's new stadium took on a mythic proportion, not only because of the cost, but because they never lost there. Like, that streak has since been broken. But when I was there, and for several years after that, they were undefeated in that stadium.
Wow.
So not only was it super expensive, but like that's the place where teams came to lose. And it didn't hurt that Allen was already really good anyway. But what have you seen since then? You just brought up this new stadium. You saw it in McKinney, I believe, the same thing in Prosper, is you saw this become the template. The thing about this that I don't know how many people know this, though, it's not just the stadium where all of the money went. So, like, for example, that Allen Stadium, if you go underneath the stadium, there are so many other cool things in there. Like, for example, and I'm sorry if I get the specific yardage right, they have a weight room down there that is about 100 yards long. At the time, it was equivalent to the weight room at the University of Texas. Think about how crazy that
is.
Dude,
I did an interview with the athletic director at the time at North Texas. And I was asking about, this was when I was at school there. I was asking about the new stadium, Apogee Stadium. And I was like, hey, you know, why are you wanting to do this? What's the goal of this? And he literally said, if guys that go to Allen High School and we're trying to recruit them and they see our stadium compared to that stadium, we can't compete. And so they were like, some of these high school stadiums are putting some of these smaller colleges out of business.
I will tell you, I did definitely have a conversation with somebody closely involved in the process that said I could see why they would want to play in Allen Stadium as opposed to Ford Stadium for SMU at the time. And so they have an amazing weight room under there. They also had multiple golf simulators under there as well that were just freaking state of the art. And that's another inherent advantage. And that was at a time when Allen's golf team was really amazing as well. And of course, I do see multiple people mentioning it this morning It came up in our crosstalk. The essentially the Spire Stadium is what I think of in Mesquite, and always worrying that that thing was going to fall on us. Or the other thing that crossed my mind, Alec, I don't know if you've ever been in this place, but in high school, I was in the drum corps. And if we were on the field or near one of those big towers, especially if it wasn't a water tower, and some drops of what seemed to be water fell on us and it wasn't raining, I had like these secret thoughts that that tower was actually some kind of weird water storage thing or whatever. I probably told you far too much and should have just kept that to myself, but I wanted to be honest with you. From the 214, I went to Irving MacArthur and we played in the Gopher Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why I liked HBJ Stadium as well. I think the bowl stadium, there's just something cool about it. Like when you drive down into parking lot or whatever, I just think that is super neat.
You know, when I was also in band, and UIL every year was held at Duncanville Stadium. Do you remember going to Duncanville in band? And that was the first time I'd ever experienced a giant stadium, because Forrester Field was, you know, Forrester Field was fine.
Sure.
But when you looked at Duncanville Stadium, we had to start practicing with echo, because they told us you need to understand the drums are going to be different sound. And so there was so much that we didn't know about that, but that place was giant.
And I know other places have like revolutionized their gyms and everything like that, but at the time, Duncanville had the most amazing high school gym I had ever seen as well. There were there was a railing, and like it was raised up to get to the stands at a time where you could just walk right down the bleachers and onto the court if you were so inclined for any reason. And so, yeah, I always thought that was very, very cool.
Yeah. From somebody said, I live in Brownsboro, and they did a big remodel at Tomato Bowl in Jacksonville. So that's probably another factor.
Now I want to check that out, because the Tomato Bowl in Jacksonville,
it was what, 98 when I played there. So that's when it's been a long time.
From the 903, from the 214, they love the Tomato Bowl. However, another person from the 214, the Tomato Bowl is awful because there's no airflow. Played on that field multiple times. And that is a fun fact, because you might love or hate the stadium for different reasons, right? Like what you might love sitting in the stands might be another reason that you hate it being on the field.
Oh, I will admit this. We had about 8 injuries in that game, and on the drive home, we had multiple people cramp up from dehydration.
Okay.
And it was like, that's terrifying, Kevin, when you're on a bus in the middle, like pitch black, and all of a sudden you hear all your teammates going, ah! Like they're gonna die.
That did scare the crap out of me.
It's scary, man.
And that's I know it is super cool for the kids, but moving the state championships to, you know, down to Houston or now to AT&T Stadium again, what matters is what's in it for the kids and every, like, I do actually view them as student athletes, and I don't think the UIL is trying to screw over everybody consistently sometimes, but not consistently. But it is a shame that you lost the, you know, like you see it at Clark Stadium in Plano sometimes where there's not enough seats and people are piled up on either side of the grandstands of the grass.
Yeah.
Like that is really cool. And I understand we've gone past that and it's probably never coming back. But just seeing like an Allen, a Plano, a South Lake, you know, one of those Metroplex teams like playing in that stadium versus a team from Houston, Austin, San Antonio, and just seeing so many people in that stadium that you're not sure how they're all going to fit, that was always cool.
Real quick, I'm sorry if I said PH for Pflugerville. I meant PF. It is the field, PFIELD. I forgot what I was going to say about the other one. So good luck, Kevin.
Okay. And multiple people. Yes, multiple people.
Oh, that's what I was going to. Before high school football season starts, we should figure out a competition for the best student section in high school football.
It's great.
I think we need to figure out how to get that going, Coach Spittle. See how we can get that rolling.
I know my vote.
There you go. Right. Ooh, interesting.
Well, you know, while we work on that, maybe in just a minute we have a different contest announcement.
I like it.
And that ladies and gentlemen,
professional
tees. Plus, we'll have a ticket giveaway, and we'll talk with Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy in case you needed more. But stick around. We'll have that for you in just a minute right here on The Fan.
The 1-0 is lifted high into the air, deep right field. Adolis is back, still going back onto the track. He leaps, and he made the catch. He did. Adolis Garcia robs Nolan Schanuel of a home run.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to talk with Bruce Bochy in just a couple of minutes. So first, I have some positive mathematical numbers for you. I talked with Sean Hudgens about this. He's doing great, by the way, in California, and so are his wife and kiddo.
He left for love.
I mean, it seems like it's worked out
pretty
well. And so this goes off the idea that the Pythagorean winning percentage is the better calculation of just how good your team is. And so it's the winning percentage given their runs scored and runs allowed. It was developed by Bill James. And it helps determine if your team's a little or unlucky. No.
But that was, there was some theories based from Moneyball, yeah.
And so let's go back to 2016. The Rangers were 95-67. That was the year they were winning one-run games left and right, and we were a little concerned about how good they actually were. The Pythagorean theory says they should have been 82-80. And guess what happened? They made the playoffs based off their record, and then they got swept.
Mm. Well,
however, so the Pythagorean theory was telling us the truth. Go back to 2023. You'll probably remember what happened that year. The Rangers went 90-72. However, the Pythagorean theory said they should have gone 96-66, which would have been tied for the best record in Rangers history. And what happened, Corey, in 2023?
I believe they won the AL championship against the Astros.
And?
The World Series.
There you go. Now, how does that translate to right now,
in English, maybe
the Rangers have had, they've lost the last couple. They're 56-52. So just a day ago, I believe they were sitting with the second best run differential in the AL and tied for the fourth best run differential in MLB. And that means that the Pythagorean theorem is going to love them and has them on pace where their actual record should be 94-68. Now, that won't necessarily help you get into the playoffs, but it does indicate that the Rangers are better than their record reflects, which means if they can make it into the playoffs, that combined with their two stud pitchers might have you thinking magical things again, because in 2023, they were projected to be a good little bit better than their actual record. Now they're projected to be a good little bit better than their actual record. You can't help but let the mind run wild that math is telling us it could happen
again.
Kevin,
you don't have to sell me.
Okay, you're already in?
I told you to saddle up and get ready for this ride.
All right, I'm ready. But are you ready for this ride?
All right.
I've been given an important paper with an important announcement.
I, too, have paper.
Would you like to read the announcement?
No.
Okay. It was really disappointing. Many of you have asked about this, including Corey, but he already works here.
Fan Phenom's back!
Oh!
Yeah, I'm sorry, dude. Did I really screw that up for you?
No.
Okay.
Just feels like you should have taken the opportunity when I said, would you like to read the paper?
I got very excited.
This is your chance to audition with the winner joining our fan team. We're going to team up with Jake's Burgers. That is a DFW staple in our community, and we'll host four tryouts. Obviously, you've seen all kinds of Jake's food that we've had up here. It's been freaking unbelievable. And you look at the track record of some of our winners and our runners up. They are incredible here at The Fan. Here's the schedule. Plan your life accordingly. These are all on Thursdays, all right? G-Bag Nation's going to be out there. I believe the tryouts will take place after the G-Bag Nation at Jake's. Thursday, August 7th, 7910 South State Highway in Saxe.
Okay.
All right? If you're like, I didn't remember all those numbers, it'll be up on the website. But also, just remember, August the 7th, Jake's in Saxe.
Yeah, you could be the saxiest host there.
That is a point. Look, see, it's not that tough.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the next week, That was too rude. Thursday, August the 14th, 2860 State Highway 161 in Grand Prairie.
You'd be the grandest of them all.
Oh, dear God. Thursday, August the 21st, 515 Main Street in Fort Worth.
Join the fan fort, if you will.
Thursday, August 28th. Look, I hope you win and take my job. Or Alec replaces me and you take his job. If Kevin doesn't show up tomorrow,
then that's what happened.
Yeah, that's what your fan phenom is for. We should have accelerated this and you got to host the next couple of weeks. Thursday, August the 28th, Jake's off of 6195 Main Street in Frisco. So here's what you need to know. Thursday, August the 7th, Saxy. Thursday, August the 14th, Grand Prairie. August the 21st, Fort Worth. August the 28th, Frisco. G-Bag Nation will be doing broadcast there, and Fan Phenom will take place afterwards. If you want to join the team, people ask about that all the time. Now is your chance.
I'll get back to that in just a second. This is really a cool opportunity because, as you said, Blake, he hosts our night shows with Fred. I'll have Fred working with me for a week and a half or so. Kevin Gray has done phenomenal work as he went through the experience. We had a couple other people. Sterling was awesome. He was a great friend of ours. So plenty of opportunity here.
Right now, whether you're on the mound, at the plate, or on the road, National Car Rental invites you to stop waiting and start winning. Book like a winner today. And Olshan, we bring you Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. How's it going there?
We're doing well. Hope you are doing well also. You said something in the post game yesterday that I think really intrigued both of us, was kind of the idea of how you could have helped John Gray get that final out. John Gray has been really good since his return last night, not his finest performance. Can you elaborate any at all about how you could have helped John Gray better yesterday?
Yeah. And, but, you know, as managers, you know, we like to take responsibility at times. John, it looked like he was getting out of it, had two outs, the guy on, had good fastball, I thought. I thought where he was in the order, I was trusting that he could get through it, but I could have had Milner up. We had Armstrong that was good to go, and we had Milner in the, and so that's why I said I could have helped them out. It's just something that we do. That's something I take personal sometimes when a guy is a little bit off. And so that's why I said that. And it's all about taking ownership. And I could have helped them out there.
Every fan out there, Boach, I think, questions every manager's bullpen decisions in the history of the game. That's how it's always been. But it is a very fine line of knowing exactly when your guy is and when you should kind of let him, give him a little more leash and let him get that work in, right?
Yeah, and Johnny's done a great job in the bullpen.
Yes.
He's done a great job for us. He's got a lot of experience, helps us win the World Series, all that. And he's back, and I think he's throwing the ball fairly well. He's done a good job in this role since he's come up. So I just had the confidence in him with who he was facing. The two guys that beat us, and, they're just hitting right around 200. So felt like he could make the pitches. They took advantage of a couple of mistakes that he made. I mean, it just showed you last night again what a fine line this game is between winning and losing and, making mistakes, which we did. We made some outs on the bases, dropping a fly ball. It's unusual for us. It was a strange night. It was like the outfielders were on skates. They were all falling down. And really, we look back at seven walks and four hit batsmen. A lot of things came into play in that game. And including myself, that's why I said that. It's not just them.
Well, and
he was about to throw down, Corey. You saw it.
Okay, I'm going to dive into the throw down. So last night, the two teams did meet on the field for a small conversation and then went back to their respective dugouts. Do managers get along, or is there like this underlying competitive sports hate involved with you guys?
Oh, I think for the most part, yeah. I think managers get along. It's, you know, it's a case where you may know of one manager better than the other, obviously. Might have played with them or spent time with them, but, you know, between the winter meetings and when you play a team, a lot of times managers get together and talk. I don't so much. I guess I'm a little bit old school like that, but certain ones I do, like Kotze, who played for me, Vogt, who played for me. Yeah, we get together. And that's, you know, last night. I mean, it's the last thing we're trying to do, and you understand that they're getting guys hit. But you know what? It's almost like I felt like they should be thanking us for doing that. That's how they won the game. And so, you know, I just, you know, when someone's looking to dugout, you know, yelling whatever, I'm going to go out and find out what he's yelling about. I mean, come on. And I get it. You know, these guys want to take up for their players, just like that's our job. But that's all. I just want to, you know, see what, you know, what is this yelling about? Because I was more mad than he was. Trust me, the fact that we were hitting guys and walking guys.
Also, I was kind of curious. Do you know of any managers over your career that just really didn't like you?
They didn't like me.
Yeah,
I'm sure. I couldn't tell you. But you know, there's some that you don't care for as much, I guess, is the way to put it.
That is a good, very, very diplomatic way to put it. I know you're used to this being a manager, as Corey just mentioned, not just the bullpen, but you get questioned about your decisions. I know he just pinch hit last night, but can you walk us through kind of the idea of bringing Jock back and putting him in the middle of the lineup when he's struggled just so tremendously this season?
Yeah, well, he was swinging the bat pretty good before he left. He had a good game down there, and so I'm just trying to balance out the lineup and trying to get this guy going. That's part of it. He's a guy that can carry a ball club. Granted, he struggled early, and you'd like to think that's behind him. And he's still trying to find his way. You know, our left-handed bats aren't quite as hot as we'd like for him to be, or they would like to be, including Evan Carter. You know, we're trying to get him going too. So, but yeah, you have to, you know, change things up when they've had, you know, a couple of games and they're still trying to find it, because we need to win ball games now. And part of it will be tonight. We're facing a right-hander, but, you know, Higgy, he's swinging so well that I'm going to DH him, keep his bat in there. This guy's kind of a reverse split guy right now, where righties are having more success. And so, you know, and I'll sit down with Jock and, you know, tell him, because we got to get him going. You know, again, you got a power bat that's done a lot of damage in this game and, you know, has a knack for getting a big RBI. And so you got to keep pushing, you know, in some way to, you know, to get him going.
I know he had the hit and the RBI last night, and we all believe he's immensely talented, but Ezekiel Duran has struggled quite a bit this season as well. Can you tell us anything about short-term, long-term, what you think his future is with this club?
Yeah, you know, you're right, Zeke. He's had his struggles there at the plate. And we've seen him do great things. And I will say now, he's made a little adjustment. We got him on the plate a little bit where he can cover the ball away and don't try to, hit where the pitch is, so to speak. Get a good pitch, a hit, and let's catch it out front a little bit more. And so that's a big hit he got, a huge hit, up the middle. I mean, he hit that ball well. I thought the other swing was a good swing. Cut it toward the end on the changeup left field. But, the bunt, that's when it looked ugly.
Yeah.
Leading off the inning, if anything, we should have had him taking a pitch there. But we saw the first baseman back. And you like his thinking. He's trying to get on base for the team. That's who he is. This guy's one of the more popular guys on the team, believe me. He brings so much energy and everything. But his versatility, it's you know, that's makes him so valuable. The bat, it's there. I know it's there. You know, it's hard to get it going when you're not getting those consistent at bats. I get it, but still, it's a role that, you know, you got to figure it out, or it doesn't, you know, stay your role.
Is that a difficult balancing act at all? I know it's your job, but you talked about how popular he is in the clubhouse and with the organization versus, hey, if you're not hitting, you're not hitting. Like, is that a tough balance, or do you think everyone in the room understands, like, hey, everybody loves the guy, but at this point, if he's not hitting, I got to sit him down?
Yeah, well, he's been sitting down, and he did go down to Round Rock, and he's a guy that he is valuable late in the ball game because you can pinch run him. Something happens during the game, he can play anywhere, including catch. Well, you've seen him pitch, but
yes,
you know, he's ready to do anything, this kid. And so, you know, there's something about, you know, that value. I just think, you know, the bat, the swing where it's at is in a much better place. If he was where he's at now, he wouldn't be hitting what he's hitting all, you know, been hitting all year.
You know, you were talking a few moments ago about the defense, and last night and the last couple nights, you had some weird defensive moments, but overall, this defense has been very efficient. What do you attribute that to?
Just work every day. I mean, every day, infielders out there getting their work in. Ragsdale kind of runs the infield there, and you know, they're getting fungos. Every day, you know, at every position, turning to infield in, all those things. Beasley has the outfield, and it's just consistent work. You know, and that's daily, too. If we don't hit, one thing we do is go out there and take ground balls and do our infield stuff. And so, you know, that's how, you know, you get better. And these guys do a great job of being out there, you know, getting their work in every day. Marcus, he's incredible. I mean, there's times I really don't want him out there, but he won't miss a day. And, you know, just a credit to, because, you know, he's playing every day, but he's just got a gift that, you know, he bounces back well, and he's so resilient, you know, and you saw how tough he is to get hit in the head and still stay in the game.
Yeah.
You know, that's, you just don't see players like Marcus, you know, very often in the game.
Yeah, and it's good to be able to hang your hat on good defense. Boach, what's it like working with Chris Young around this time of year when the trade deadline's coming up and you kind of know, like, it does feel a little like Christmas might be coming sometimes with this guy, but he's so competitive and he wants to win. What kind of walk us through the experience of working with him around now?
Well, he's busy, real busy, I can tell you that. Yeah, we talked yesterday. He's, you know, they're meeting right now. I can promise you, you're looking at any scenario that may help this club, but you have to do what makes sense. But yeah, no, he keeps in touch with me, with everybody. He's not on the road because he's back there, you know, working on things. But when we're at home, you know, he's around. He is competitive. He's got a nice edge, good edge. You know, it's all about winning with him. And as much as winning, just doing things right, playing the game right. Playing, as we say, with passion, being a good teammate. And so he's a guy that just does a great job. Leading his team in different ways. Whether it's on the field or off the field.
Is there a specific backup defensive depth position that you feel like you strongly need, whether it's is it infield, outfield? What are you kind of feeling there?
Well, if anywhere, I would say catching depth. I mean, we almost lost Higgy, and so, you know, don't have a guy with experience that could come up and back up. So, you know, we've talked about that. I would say, you know, that would be probably one of the priorities that we have talked about. We're always looking at pitching. Can't have enough pitching, and you know, whether starting or relieving. And of course, you know, if there's a position player out there that makes sense. You know, But when you look at the position players, I mean, we're pretty well set.
Yeah.
You know, these guys just do their thing and play like, you know, they normally do, how they're capable of playing, then we should be fine.
I understand you can never have too much pitching. If you did order your shopping list, I don't know if you can tip your hand about this. Is it fair to say that high leverage bullpen arms would be at the top of the list in the next 24 hours or so?
Yeah, I don't know if there's any clubs out there that wouldn't say something like that too. You know, well, yeah, so that's competitive. But sure, of course, you know, with Martin going down, you know, that was a big hit we took. And so, yeah, I think that's fair to say.
And I know we had already talked about John Gray at the start, but how do you think he has adapted to kind of the newer role since he came back? And is this the role that you believe he'll kind of stay in as your jack of all trades, bullpen sort of person?
Yeah, I think he's done a good job. I mean, he had a hiccup last night. That's our guy. That was a perfect. It was set up just right for him, going in sixth inning with where the order was, and you know, didn't work out. But so, you know, he's still, I guess you could say, you know, in the early part of you know, his recovery, you know, coming off that rehab, not early, but you know, he had a lengthy rehab. We made sure he stretched out to be a starter. So he's good with that. To bounce him back, I'm talking about as a reliever, but he had plenty of rest. You know, he had his days off, so he was fresh. He was good to go. Everything was set up, you know, the way we wanted. It just didn't, again, work out.
Well, we appreciate the time. As always, hope y'all get that win in L.A. tonight and then rock and roll on to Seattle.
All right, guys. Great talking with you.
Yes, sir.
There you go. Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy right here on 105.3 The Fan. And I definitely get his answer about, like, I bet most teams would be looking for leverage arms right now. And I don't dispute that at all. If you see a move between now and 5 p.m. tomorrow, that would be at the top of the list of, I think, likely move that you've seen.
And coming up here in about 13 minutes.
Oh.
I'll give you my dream scenario.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. And yes, he is a relief pitcher. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You know, I have another football thing I want to go over with you guys.
I dare you.
But I feel
like... Let's get something away!
877-881-1053. Colin Emerton will win a pair of tickets to go see Live and Collective Soul on August 13th at the Pavilion at Toyota Music Factory, courtesy of Live Nation. You can listen to Corey sing, you can buy the tickets, or you can win them for free right now. 877-881-1053. And of course, once again, we want to say that whether you're on the mound, at the plate, or on the road, National Car Rental invites you to stop waiting, start winning. They bring us Bruce Bochy, Book Like a Winner, and Olshan, who also brings us Bruce Bochy. Now, let's talk some football. Can you give me cut number 9 unless you need to answer those phones, Mr. Medford?
Second down and 10. Protection breaks down. Jones is sacked. TJ Watt.
So this is actually something I've wanted to talk about for a while. Corey and I, we talked about this in the airport on the way out to Oxnard, but we've just had so much content, we haven't had the opportunity to get into it. And I know that this is not exactly representative of these have to be the best players overall because it's position by position. But I was looking at the TJ Watt contract, and then I was going back to the ESPN top 10 rankings. All right. And that's something that executives, coaches, and scouts all vote on. So that feels, you know, like a pretty good representation. So TJ Watt got the 3-year, $123 million extension. He's already 30 and will turn 31 on October 1st.
Oof.
My research says that will be a colossal mistake for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay.
All right. So I can run through position by position for you. How many players in the top 10 of each position are 30 or older?
the top 10 of each position.
I can run it through if you want.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
Running back, 1, Derrick Henry. And that makes sense. I feel like historically we're familiar with
quarterbacks
that.
Quarterbacks are old.
3. Only 3.
Really?
Baker Mayfield, Jared Goff, and Matthew Stafford.
Dak's not 30 yet?
He didn't make the top 10. I'm sorry, Corey. I didn't make the top 10, and neither did he.
I'm shocked.
Defensive tackles. Now, defensive tackle and offensive tackle is the position. If you're going to invest in somebody over 30, this is where to go. Out of those two top 10s, 9 of the top players are 30 or older.
Okay.
So if you're going to invest older, offensive tackle, defensive tackle.
Can I throw something out real quick? I just saw Marshall Green post. ESPN says that Dexter Lawrence isn't worth a first-round pick in a trade because teams might need to see more consistent pass rush production to deal a first-rounder. He's 28, nearing 28. And Duke Manyweather said, I'm here to tell you ESPN is wrong.
Yeah. Like, oh, my God.
I feel like 31, you know, that dude's age, yeah. He is a beast. He's going to be there for a while.
I feel like we would be confused because we're loading up on nothing but pass rushers. But if you picked him up, you'd be like, hey, that sounds good to me.
We're good.
All right. So edge rushers, there's only 3. Tight ends, 3. Inside offensive linemen, number that are 30 or older, 1.
Mm.
Off the ball linebackers, 1. Wide receiver, 2. Cornerback, 0. Here's what it boils down to. Number of players in the top 10. There's 11 positions, so that's 110 players. 23 of the 110 are 30 or over. And guess what? That age 30 is the key pivot point. Because you know how many are over 30? So even starting at 31... 14.
Really?
In 11 top 10 categories. So that's 110 players. 14 of them were over 30.
This is going to take more extensive research, Kevin. Sure. How has this number changed over time? Because don't you feel like there was an era where older players played longer?
Absolutely.
It feels like younger players are cheaper. And
for sure.
This is a young man's game.
And
now.
I agree with that to a certain extent, the second part. I think it's the first part that's the bigger difference because general managers, capologists, all of that, they've come to the realization that whether this kid can play or not, we need to give him a quicker opportunity because this is an inherent advantage. Like, for example, Everybody thinks Micah Parsons, Micah Parsons kicks ass right now, mm-hmm. right? His rookie option. So this is by far the biggest amount of money he's going to make is this year's $24 million. That ain't even close to starting a discussion
right.
of what he actually wants. There's a good chance he wants $20 million a season, more than that. And you've already seen him be awesome.
Yep.
I know the concern is he could get hit by a car, as Jerry Jones told us, but you've already seen him be awesome. And that's like, take Sam Williams, for example. We love talking to Sam Williams. I hope he's outstanding. What are you going to do if he's outstanding this year? Because this is the last year of him being cheap. So if he's not good...
Oh, sign him.
Yeah, well...
That's what the Cowboys, I feel like...
And that does kind of fit with their MO of going ahead and signing him. Or are you going to franchise tag him? Guess what? That ain't cheap. You missed the 3-year window already for Sam Williams to be awesome and cheap. Because whether you look at it for safety and cornerback, for example... You know how many safeties and cornerbacks made the top 10 that are even 30 or older? None.
Zero.
That's 20 players right there. And nobody that is even 30 or older was considered. If you take out defensive tackles and offensive tackles, and I really, if there's been too many numbers, I get it. But I really want you to listen to this. Cowboys, I want you to listen to this. You take out defensive tackle and offensive tackle. Where I told you, if you're going to invest older, that's the place to do it. Here are all the positions that are left. Running back, edge, safety, tight end, inside offensive line, quarterback, off the ball linebacker, wide receiver, cornerback. Out of those top 10s, that's 90 players. Number of players that were over 30 that made those top 10 lists, 8. 8 out of 90. I believe, even though TJ Watt is immensely talented, I think the Steelers will look back at this as a mistake. I think that
you're going to regret it, Steelers.
I think that is one of the things that complicates things with Terry McLaurin, is because he is getting to that age.
Makes sense.
I understand every reason
why. He had to put up with all that crap before, and now he can't get his payday because of this.
And I understand that. But in the NFL, you pay forward. All right? You don't pay backwards. And if you're wondering what's the holdup with Micah right now, I know it's years. I know it's money. I know it's all of that. But I think the biggest disconnect might be, what are you going to do going forward once you do get all of the money? And him being like, I've already shown you what I can do. And they're like, no, I get that. But you were working towards your deal. What are you going to do now once you get your deal, knowing that maybe this is the last one before you go to the Olympics or whatever? And so I think that might be the crux of what they're running into.
I love it.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Just kidding. It's the C-Block next on The Fan.